For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, and welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast, the most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now let's get this straight, this is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy, it's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us, we don't do interviews, we do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill, we drink, we play games, we have the song of the week, we have the creative curse word of the week, as long as you're having fun as our guest. Speaking of guests, each week I'm gonna go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!
All right. Well, in this show, we take a deep dive into SEMA. We talked to Christopher Kersting, who's the president and CEO of SEMA, so we can get all the nuts and the bolts, almost literally. So if you're thinking about SEMA this year, this is the show to tune into. We'll get into that. And first, I'll tell you about JB Weld. DIYers and pros have trusted JB Weld for over 50 years, but why hire a pro when you can work like a pro with JB Weld? We're proud to have JB Weld Epoxy Adhesive sponsor as a sponsor on the show. I personally know the owner, met him at SEMA a few years back, thought he was a good guy. He liked the cut of my jib, and here we are. And whether it's automotive, crafts, plumbing, marine, or more, you got to use JB Weld. It works on metal, wood, plastics, glass, ceramics. Use it to fix my son's shoe. I use it to fix my daughter's cold roller thing. Still don't know the name of it or what's it for.
But it's fixed.
I do know I paid for it. So I fixed it with JB Weld. JB Weld also just acquired Herculiner, the original DIY truck bed liner. So if you're looking for the world's strongest truck bed liner, Herculiner has you covered, right, Matt?
Yeah, you know, JB Weld is available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, Napa, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. I can't believe there's an and more. That's pretty much everyone. Remember, JB Weld epoxy products are proudly made in the USA. It's JB Weld, world's strongest bond.
Get it on, and welcome to CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, over there. Got to heat up your mic over there.
There we go. There we go. Hey.
We're well-oiled machine. We'll give you a nice big fat SEMA update in today's program. First, Matt's got a little 15-second JB Weld.
Yeah, you know, our friends at JB Weld, it's available at Home Depot and Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, Napa, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. And remember, JB Weld epoxy products are proudly made in the USA. It's JB Weld, world's strongest bond.
Well, our guest is President and CEO of SEMA, Christopher J. Kersting. I hope I said that right. Welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be here with you guys.
Yeah,
that's a very formal version of your name today.
That is.
Back to the law firm days.
Exactly. I don't know. My mother doesn't even call me that.
Yeah, we'll call him Chris Carr. The website, SEMA.org, is where you can go to find out information. SEMA's going on this year, Tuesday, November 2nd through Friday, the 5th of November. Good to be back in the flesh for the first time in a couple of years, right, Chris?
Yeah, we're excited about it.
So give us, why don't you give us a little rundown on, SEMA, like, you know, its humble origins. We know some about that. Some can see the old pictures from maybe the 70s.
No, earlier.
Earlier, 50s, 60s.
Yeah, it's
it's always hard to tell because they have a hot rod from the 30s, so you can't put a timestamp on it. You know, with auto shows, you can go, oh, that is a 1971 Falcon or Duster or something like that. You know exactly what year it is, but the old SEMA shots, it's hard to tell. So origins, what year, and background. Walk us through it.
And kind of how we got to where we are today, too, I think is interesting. So the organization was formed in 63. Mm-hmm. But in order for that to happen, you know, there was a lot of cool stuff that went on before that with these guys who built these little companies that were the founders of SEMA. So really, Adam, going back to kind of the return after the war here in Southern California, a lot of folks with a lot of automotive knowledge had worked in a lot of aerospace companies that were operating here and so forth. And great weather year round. A lot of the cars and trucks on the road in that time were old because they hadn't made any new cars and trucks, right? So these guys
came back. Because of the war.
Yeah, because of the war. And these guys came back and had a lot of fun basically hot-rodding these vehicles and then kind of got into the dry lake scene and the speed contests out there. And
so a little bit of a perfect storm of young guys coming back who got their beak wet, flying planes, working on planes, wrenching on tanks, you know, a strong, heavy, mechanized, mechanical kind of thing with a bunch of 19, 20, 21-year-olds. And they come back to SoCal, and there's all these defense guys who are making the aircraft and all the parts suppliers, you know, Joe Factor, guys like that, who used to be up the street. You could, you know, famously get a lot of braided hoses and grommets and things to kind of modify your vehicle with. So lots of parts, lots of supplies, and then lots of know-how, lots of fabricators, guys who knew how to move metal around. So now they come back here, and these guys who want to go fast are now dropped into a place where guys made P-51 Mustangs, and the marriage begins.
Yeah, and they had a blast, and you know, both the dry lake scene was a real center for this, and the folks who'd show up with something machined that worked, people would say, hey, I want one of those too. And the next thing you know, these guys start these little businesses. And
belly tanks and things like that.
You got to think of some of the founding members, I would guess, would be like Edelbrock, Ed Iskandarian, Alex Exidius, you know, and Alex, he's going to outlive us all. So. Yeah.
And, you know, real kind of fuel on the fire was Peterson. When Peterson came along, had this idea about doing a publication, it allowed a lot of these little companies that had just formed up, all those companies you just mentioned, to get an audience all around the country. So Hot Rod Magazine was hatched. They started that, gave these guys a market, really took off for a lot of them. And then competitors started coming in from all over the country, really. But out here in Southern California, really funny story about the beginnings of SEMA. There was a you probably grew up making model cars, right? So you'd get your little model car. The last thing you did was the most frustrating thing. What was it? It was putting on those decals, right? The little things you float in the warm water and try and get on there. Well, in order to put all those decals on any given sort of model, you had to get licensing rights from all those companies. Well, there's some guy from Revell going around pulling his hair out trying to talk to all these different companies. He said, you know, you need to get a group of you together and you need to form an association. There are such things, and it's a way for businesses to come together and do things commonly together that they can't do as well individually. And for one thing, he said it'd make my job a lot easier. So he got a bunch of these guys in the room together, explained to them what it was, brought an attorney in who could help them understand how to form an association. And they had enough other common interests and problems that they said, yeah, this is a good idea. And I got to tell you, these guys were hardcore competitors in the business world. It was something to get them together in a room and say, yeah, we're going to do something jointly. So in 1963, they put SEMA together. There were about, I don't know, 19 or 20 founding companies, a lot of the companies that you just mentioned. And the thing really got a lot of juice when California began to regulate emissions, because now they had a government affairs problem and they needed to band together. They needed a united voice. They needed united resources in order to be able to go make sure that those regulations didn't just mow over the modification industry, because all that stuff was originally aimed at new vehicles, new motor vehicles. But they included provisions that said once we have these emissions controls on these vehicles, you can't change them. You can't take them out of compliance. So our industry was able to represent itself there and say, hey, we are all about modifying vehicles. We want to be able to do it legally. We're going to put together a system with you where these companies can test and demonstrate that after you put that supercharger on this thing, it still meets the requirements, and give it an approval. And so that process got started. That really gave SEMA a lot of juice. And then the next thing that gave SEMA a lot of juice, 1967, that range, the first SEMA show. There are a couple shows that happened before that that were kind of formative, but the very first show that really used SEMA as an organizing factor under the bleachers in the new Dodger Stadium, 1967. Great pictures from that event.
So the first SEMA was in Chavez Ravine?
It was. That's
wow.
Correct. That is correct.
So they moved it, sort of like Tailhook, I guess, moved, ended up in Vegas at some point.
It was other places in L.A. first. Was it at the convention center?
So they had a couple iterations that were what you could really call the precursors. And of course, the guys who were responsible for those would say, no, those were the first SEMA shows. But they, in Anaheim, they did. I think there was one in Anaheim at the convention center. And then the thing ultimately ended back in the Anaheim Convention Center as it kind of matured and grew. In the latter part of 1970s, big deal for the association, should we move the show to Las Vegas? And, of course, its board of directors was torn down the middle. Half the guys thought that everybody would come there and spend all their money gambling before they could spend any money buying parts.
Yeah.
And the guy who took that leadership position and got that done, he really put the industry in a great position, because Las Vegas was the place for the SEMA show, and it has grown like crazy ever since. And then similarly, the organization expanded. So you guys will get a kick out of this. The original acronym was the Speed Equipment Manufacturers Association.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Today, we are the Specialty Equipment Market Association. If I say that to a stranger, they say, yeah, but what do you make?
Right.
It tells you very little. But they expanded it that way because it was originally Manufacturers Association, and they agreed to bring in distribution, retail, everybody, in part because this was a small, niche industry in a world of Goliaths, car makers, the EPA, the federal government, the state governments, and they needed all the voices and all the resources they could gather. So it was a smart decision, but it's unusual for an organization like ours to represent manufacturers, distribution, retail. Usually those guys are in different associations because they have different interests. But we were all bound by the fact that we had big dragons to slay and we needed all the power we could get. So that thing then allowed lots of other folks in, and it moved from speed equipment to be every hobby and every lifestyle interest in the automotive culture. So grew to include the resto guys, the street rod guys, the off-road guys, the mobile electronics folks, the restylers, the guys who are basically you call wheel and tire niche.
Yeah. Tools, all the tools that go along and support that. Even JB Weld, our sponsor, the reason they're here is because I wandered into the JB Weld booth a few years back. SEMA.
See?
I was like, my shoe's broken. What do you got?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's everything. And I just recently toured the new convention center. I guess we're calling it the new or the
West Hall.
The West Hall at the convention.
And it is state of the art, man.
Isn't it stunning?
Walking into that place when it's empty, I'll screw up some of the stats, but some of the biggest, maybe the biggest spans minus the poles, meaning, these places are gargantuan now, or this place is gargantuan now, and when it gets filled up, it sort of has a context, but when it's empty and you walk into that place, it's like standing out on the 50-yard line of the Texas Stadium with nobody there. Just the vastness.
I was there for Barrett Jackson, which I think was the first public event there. And the big room, you're right, I think it's 600,000 square feet without a pole standing in the middle.
It's cavernous. Yeah. It really is crazy.
Yeah.
And you know, those facilities now allow us to do all kinds of cool stuff at the show. And I think Las Vegas had plans to then in sequence be remodeling and updating all the rest of these halls. COVID has kind of put a little bit of a kink in that, but I expect we'll get the whole facility updated. Of course, none of it is going to be quite as spectacular as that space, but we're really looking forward to what we can do in there. And Adam, if you got to see those spaces empty, it makes it all the more remarkable. Most people just show up out at that convention center and see the finished product when they walk in the door. It's an empty warehouse, man. And when the SEMA show happens, it looks like a purpose-built, you know, unbelievably decorated and complete, you know, internal showroom. And that's some of the crazy stuff that happens to make the SEMA show, you know, go down that people never see. We did a time lapse one time of a couple of days of that thing from – and a very interesting thing. The time it takes to build it up – 3-4 days, getting deeper now, 5 days sometimes. The time it takes to take it down, less than 24 hours. So it comes down like an elevator with a cut.
Very quick to go down. I want to talk a little bit about the SEMA show for this year. Obviously, in this time of COVID, we're seeing different decisions being made by shows like CES and Apex. And you know, some of them it's dictated to them. Some of them they're taking a wild guess. You know, but also some of those are different types of shows, right? What we'd expect from a Detroit Auto Show or LA Auto Show is different than what we would expect from SEMA being a trade show.
Yeah.
So let's just get into that. How are you going to handle COVID protocols? What's going to happen at SEMA for exhibitors and spectators?
Right. So just to be clear, because we're spending a lot of time out there trying to cut through all the clutter and the static and the BS, it's very straightforward. SEMA is going to have in place the safety protocols that are required by Nevada and Clark County when we show up at the show. If the show were to happen tomorrow, that includes a masking requirement for trade shows that happen indoors. There's a month and a half still between now and the SEMA show. A lot changed in the last 6 weeks, 2 months, as you saw. A lot's going to change. And we're relying then on the authorities, the people who have some expertise about this, to figure out what needs to be in place. But at the same time, we've got our own protocols and the building itself has taken some significant steps that I think make a big difference. For example, in this last year, they've installed their hospital-grade HVAC, high-volume turnover. We're going to have the opportunity with that new West Hall to spread the show out. We'll have wider aisles, a little bit more distancing. Of course, we'll have hand sanitation stations for people who feel like that's a benefit, and we'll be cleaning high traffic areas on a regular basis. All the things that are best practices that earned that facility what's called a GBAC star rating. When I look at all of those things taken together, and I think about the matter that folks are headed out to Home Depot or the grocery store, where they probably don't have hospital grade HVAC, they don't have all these features in place. I feel comfortable going to Home Depot. I think a lot of other people do. And I think that folks will feel comfortable, and not everybody, but folks will feel
they
comfortable.
They will. They're car guys. The car guys don't care. So, let's face it. They ain't some pussy heads up some school board union or something in L.A. All the car guys I know don't give two shits.
Adam, you got to take into account the specifics of every industry and these different trade organizations and companies that are making decisions about their shows are doing that. And we listen to demand more or less from our end of the
spectrum. Have demand. I don't know if someone has this, but if I have to wear a mask, I would like it to be the thrush muffler woodpecker with the cigar mask. Would that be a killer mask?
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. It's got the big smile and the cigar shoved in the side of the mouth, and it's a woodpecker. Thrush
people just need to be creative about this.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Well, the mask mandate we would assume is going to be in place, but a requirement for vaccinations, we're saying we don't know. You don't have an answer for that yet because we don't know.
I think you do more or less have an answer just in what is happening today. So during the lead up to the surge and even in Las Vegas now, the surge is beginning to decline, right? But even now, there's a major trade show taking place this week at the convention center. The mining industry has their Mine Expo. If you're into Tonka trucks, you need to go to this show someday, all right? It's the craziest thing you ever saw. But they have 1,400 exhibiting companies there. They got tens of thousands of people there. The requirement right now is masks, basically. So I think and you're seeing these events taking place all over the country. There is a major event going on in Chicago this week. It is a weird thing about what the media does to people's perceptions, and I think particularly those of us who live in Southern California have a way distorted sort of sense of what's going on. But there are lots of events, lots of large gatherings taking place, and they're coming off successfully. Are they for every person based on their own personal assessment? Probably not. And we respect that, and we expect people will make their decisions. And even companies will make those decisions and make them differently. And but right now we have 1,300 plus companies registered and paid in to exhibit at SEMA, which is a really large show.
How many people do you expect to show up?
So we've got 28,000 registered buyer attendees at this point, and that's early in this cycle. Those guys can kind of decide all the way up to the last minute. And so that's a really strong base for us for the show. So to your point earlier, Adam, I think people are interested. And our board of directors takes those and the staff, we look at those as votes to say, yes, SEMA, we need you guys to do this. Why? Because the SEMA show is a connection point. It's funny you mentioned your connection for J.B. Weld. Every year folks show up there and they connect for all kinds of business purposes. And it's interesting because people either don't know this or forget about it. That mass of manufacturers who are on the floor at SEMA are mostly small and medium-sized companies. And they are where a lot of the cool innovation is cropping up. Mm-hmm. And I've been in this industry and going to that show for 30 years. I've seen the tiny company that has become the big company now. I've seen the small company gets bought up by the big company and so on and so forth. But it's a lot of where this stuff, the new and cool products come from. And those folks need this show as a stage to get in front of people because they don't have it. They're great big category leading companies and so forth. It's a brand reinforcement and it's important for them.
Yeah.
But it's not live or die. For a lot of these guys, it's very important.
The way SEMA works is you go see what Ford's offering with their, 75,000 square foot display. But as soon as you get about 80 feet away from Ford, you see some guy and his wife. And they got some sort of flange making tool for doing your own muffler system or something. Yeah. And you really get into the weeds over there, stuff you never even thought about. And there's not only all the products and all the innovation, but then there's all the guys who do the taps and the dies and the tools and all the stuff, and the welders, just all that stuff.
Well, it's an important show for business to happen within the industry. But this year, no international travel, no international buyers.
Yeah.
How are people expected to interact with the international buyers? How are we replacing the fact that they're not going to be there?
Yeah. So we do a lot to collect what you would call content from the show to be able to make that available to folks who aren't able to get to the show. It's a real challenge for us. A lot of folks in our industry, when we did a true virtual effort last year. A lot of the folks who are the intended attendees, they're so busy and they're in a different realm. They're at their offices, or in those days they were even working remotely. They aren't switching off of, as I say, when you're fishing in a pond and you're catching fish. And last year our industry was selling a lot of product because people were working on their cars and trucks. It was right. One of the things you could do.
Home.
They don't leave the pond that they're catching fish in to go look for another pond to fish. So it's hard to get people, international or otherwise, to really pay attention to this. It'll be a thing that develops over time where we will begin feeding more stuff virtually. And I think people will take advantage of it. But from a cold come to the SEMA show and do this, and now you don't come to the SEMA, you try and do this on a computer, it's not the same.
Well, look, the SEMA show last year being a virtual event was, that one kind of sucked. But the MPMC event that was after that, I thought worked very well. Yeah. I would even argue, I don't know that we need an in-person MPMC event because that version of the software and the way it worked really well.
Yeah.
Right. So, maybe
think people agree with that, by the way, and I expect that's the way it's going to happen. to your point.
The evolution of the SEMA show seems like it could be both a maybe smaller in-person event with a virtual side of it as well.
So it's interesting. Those are two different experiences, and one where you have the ability to really match folks up at the MTMC, for your listeners' benefit. This is really a cool thing where the manufacturers in our industry are able to get in front of the media in a collected environment. That is to say, we would do it in a hotel and you guys would go door to door and meet with different – and collect – information to make stories and publish stuff all year long.
Yeah.
And so it's very efficient and it's very doable to have all of that scheduled. And so if it works for you guys, it's really efficient. The SEMA show is so many things, but one of the things it is a place where serendipitous stuff happens. You come in there, you know what you want to do, but you also are going to be exposed to a lot of stuff that you didn't know was going to be there.
Yeah.
And that's a slice of the pie.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, the magical part of SEMA for me is, everyone knows there's the Edelbrock display over there and there's the turbo guys and there's Ford and whatever else. And you're looking at crate engines. But at some point you wander in and you get into the bowels of the place and you just start seeing stuff you never knew existed.
Yes.
And you just, as a kind of geek, you think, oh, I want that tool, or I want that toolbox, or I want that welder. Like when it really gets niche-y, you just wouldn't know that stuff existed. And that's really for the folks that really are into it. That's really the exciting part. It's kind of, the Ford and GM and all that, and Edelbrock and everything, that's fine. That's kind of like saying Golden Corral and TGI Fridays, but these are taco trucks that are way off the beaten path. And you just go over there and start discovering new things. And I got to do a quick spot here, but I want to talk to Chris about cars in general, stuff he likes, stuff he may have in his garage, see where his head's at with that. First, I'll tell you about AirMed Care Network. Health insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of an emergency medical flight. Even with comprehensive coverage, you could get hit with substantial copays and or deductibles. Plan ahead. An emergency, AirMed Care Network's highly trained crews provide medical transport to the nearest and most appropriate trauma center. With an AirMed Care Network membership, you pay no out-of-pocket expenses for the flight, and an AMCN membership covers your entire household for as little as $85 a year. Secure your financial peace of mind. CarCast listeners, by the way, can get up to a $50 e-gift card with a new membership. So visit airmedcarenetwork.com/CarCast. Use the offer code CARCAST and get that e-gift card with your new membership. Get some peace of mind for your family with airmedcarenetwork.com/CARCAST. So, Chris, what do you like? What do you drive? Yeah. What do you have?
So I need to be less busy. You guys got to help me with this. I need to get to a place where I can get to the projects I want to do, right? So I got two things that are slated that I'm really interested in, and they're kind of different, but they overlap a little bit. I'd really like to go get a hold of a older Ford Raptor. And take that thing and trick it out for backcountry adventure. I love that.
You
world.
Want the V8.
Yeah, exactly. That's the reason for the older one. I want to mm-hmm. get that V8 in. I love all kinds of outdoor adventure stuff. And I don't know if you all have noticed this, but there is a huge development in the SEMA world, both off-road and this overland.
Well, yeah, you know.
It's really seemed to have grown or got people's attention the past year.
Yeah.
Well, my theory, I've always kind of studied trends. And, you know, when you think about those bands from the early 70s, you had Creedence and you had Crosby, Stills and Nash, and you had all the Bob Dylan-y, folksy, kind of Joni Mitchell-y stuff and everything. And even your Lynyrd Skynyrd and stuff. And the next thing that came 10 minutes later was disco.
Yeah.
You know, Donna Summer. I mean, mm-hmm. the span between Creedence Clearwater Revival and all that really folksy southern rock in disco was like 18 months. You know, then you had the Village People, pow, like next, right? And then at some point you get into the hair bands, and then you go from hair bands to Nirvana
to
and Soundgarden, just pow, right. You know what I mean? So we kind of work, I study the trends, you know? So as we're trying to push people into driving a Nissan Leaf, as that's the trend, there's a large group of people go, I'm not getting into a Tesla, I'm not getting into an electric car, I'm not getting into a Leaf, I'm going to add a Leaf to the suspension of my Jeep, and I'm going to do a body lift on it, and I'm going to get some, you know, 37-inch tough mudders on there. Like, that's why you're seeing L.A. is electric cars and raised Jeeps now. Those those are what you see. So it would make sense that market is driven now. You know, when they weren't trying to force us all into electric cars, it was, you know, a good sized market, but it's grown by leaps and bounds now because people are going, I want to get out. I want to put a, you know, brush guard in my bumper and hit the trail.
And with COVID, it just added fuel to this thing. I mean, people didn't have very many options, but one of the options was go do that, man. Take off your mask.
Why do you need to modify a Raptor? Like, I'm all for modifications, but that truck's got some pretty good suspension travel out of the showroom.
You probably don't need to do as much there, but the thing that's really cool that we've all gotten turned on to is all the stuff you can do to enable that backcountry trip. So you can become practically a land yacht. You can become really self-sufficient. So that's what's happening in that segment.
Right. So it's sort of about the tent you pitch on the camper. Versus the lift kit.
Oh, dude, there are so many cool things. There are guys now that you can have a refrigerator out there. You can have, and a lot of it is solar powered.
That's going to say solar panels, bringing stuff out there.
It's crazy, and it's so cool. And you know, if you love having that kind of equipment and making it work, it's just another toy. It's just another fun thing to do. But the other project that I have is a little bit more off the path. I really like the old travel all wagons. They're really the international travel all wagons. It's a kind of an odd beast. But I have a friend who took one and dropped it onto a 2012 Silverado chassis and then had the opportunity to put a GM crate motor in there. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the coolest resto mods I've ever seen.
Is the international wagon from the 50s, from the 60s?
Mm-hmm.
From the 60s. Yeah. And, it's the same international that would make sort of the Bronco knockoff, or
correct.
I don't know what to call it, but they're sort of got the right shape. Now we just got to get the guts right.
Yeah, so it's a little bit, like I said, that's a little odd, but I love to be able to throw my mountain bikes in the back of whatever I'm driving. I got an SRT Grand Cherokee out there for that purpose, you know, and I'm always going to have stuff that I am able to throw my equipment into.
Yeah.
That's what I really like. And
as far as getting that stuff from the SEMA show out to people, is the SEMA show open to the public on Friday?
Right. So the SEMA show is a business-to-business show. It starts on Tuesday, ends on Friday. And on Friday this year, we have an opportunity for a limited number of folks to get a pass. Basically gives them an opportunity to come to the SEMA Ignited event, which is Friday night, and we can talk a little bit about what that is, but also gives them an opportunity during the day at the SEMA show to get a chance to see this. And, you know, not very many people get to do that, so it's pretty cool. we're calling it the SEMA Ignited Pass. The Ignited, as you guys know from being out there a number of years ago, we had this incredible collection of cars and trucks that come into Las Vegas and into mm-hmm. this convention center, and people started hanging out on the sidewalks watching yeah. them leave the show. We figured, well, we can help this out. We started putting up grandstands, and we kind of organized that departure into a parade. Yeah. And so now we have this crazy cool one-of-a-kind moment that happens in the evening over at Las Vegas at the end of the show. And we decided, well, we ought to give it a destination. Put a grab a big old parking lot and throw a cool cruise in that's basically the SEMA show cars and have this SEMA Ignited yeah. event and kind of give the public a chance to see that one-of-a-kind collection.
Yeah, it's cool, but then every car builder was like, oh, now our car's got to work. We can't just display them at the SEMA show. We got to fire them up. They got to sit in traffic for half an hour.
Well, if you guys understood psychology and had a shred of decency, you would announce every year that the SEMA show is going off 2 weeks earlier. And so you'd go, we usually do it beginning of November. We're going mid-October. And then everyone would rush to finish. And while their cars were overheating and nothing, the upholstery wasn't done, you'd call them about 2 weeks on and go, hey, man.
Your little grace.
We moved it back.
We bumped it back.
Will you do this with stupid friends that are always late?
All the time.
Yeah, the movie starts at 8:30. Well, it starts at 9, but I know how you roll.
Right.
They would be initially angry, but then they would thank you.
There would be such a sigh of relief.
Yes.
Sigh of relief. How should we're going to have people come in? What should the exhibitors expect? How are they going to do things differently during that phase of Friday?
Yeah. So look, the reality is there are a lot of people among our exhibitor base who would really like to see more of, because these are going to be kind of opinion leader enthusiasts. These are people that are going to be pretty hardcore. And So many of them have been urging, and it's kind of interesting. I have a split, many of them have been urging to get more access to the enthusiast, especially at the end of the week. Most people are not interested in disrupting the B2B during the prime Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We're also looking at how to maybe begin building a SEMA Ignited weekend. And so mm-hmm. move opportunities in. Create opportunities on Saturday, because we really respect the matter that this is the only place and time that the industry can get together business to business without any distraction. Basically, they can talk business.
Yeah.
And you guys have seen the show floor. It's already amazingly packed. It's so I'm a buyer. I want to get to a booth and talk to the principal there about whatever I'm interested in. I got to wait, 15 minutes, 20 minutes normally, right? It's hard to get it. Now I've got a bunch of folks who are based, just enthusiastic. I want to ask about my product for my ride.
Like, you want to hit a home run with the exhibitors. You let them sell everything to those consumers that walk in. They don't have to bring all that shit home. They would love that. Friday afternoon, everything's for sale.
Yeah.
You could buy the booth. You could buy everything.
It's complicated. they have different personnel there during the week to talk business than they have who normally would talk retail with consumers. So,
and what is the lay of the land going to look like? There's several exhibitors that aren't going to be showing up. What are you going to do with those empty booth spaces?
Yeah. So we need to what we do is basically consolidate. We move things around and pull it back together. And in a COVID year, that's a challenge. And look, these companies are making the determinations for themselves. We get that. And we respect the fact that some of them have made that decision, and it causes us a little heartburn to have to move things around, but that's what we do. And so we'll just keep doing that and keep the thing consolidated, keep it in a good it's really set up right now by sections, by segments, as you guys know, and that makes it really efficient for the folks who come to the show and want to get around. They can plan real well. It used to be, in my tenure, it was a hardware store with no departments, where every different segment, you might have an off-road guy next to a mobile electronics guy next to a wheel guy.
Yeah, right.
The whole show was that way.
Yeah.
I just need to know where Corky Coker's going to be. I got to find that guy.
Yeah, well, you'll be able to spot his mustache.
All right, let me tell you 30 seconds for Geico here. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, sure, you do one or the other. You work hard. And then there's your automotive policy. You want to get your bundle working at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your automotive policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save and how easy it is to save when you get your bundle working at Geico. That is geico.com. So, it's weird. For us, we have a couple destinations every year. You know, there's always the Pebble Beach and the track and Laguna Seca and all that kind of stuff. And obviously SEMA is always a destination for us. And you take a year off. You don't realize how much you miss it until you get that year off.
Yeah.
That absence makes the heart grow fonder and all that.
Yep.
And familiarity,
breeds contempt.
Right. So, you know, when you're going to all these things year after year after year, you kind of have this, all right, but now we have to go back and do this. Yeah. And then when you take a year off, you go, oh, we get to go do this. You kind of appreciate it more. So
yeah.
That's the way I'm feeling about SEMA this year.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to go. I just think a lot of people, which is, I'm glad you came in. A lot of people had a lot of questions on how it's going to happen. And it, you know, the truth is, it sounds like, you know, we're still a month and a half or so out, and some decisions won't be able to get made until that last minute, which is, you know, for a lot of companies, it's unfair because they're making plans and how people are going to get there and what it's going to cost and booth space and expenses. Like, it's a big deal. So this isn't an easy
time.
Show to plan this year.
Yeah.
You know, for anybody, for you guys as the organization and everybody that's going. So the companies that are going, I thank you for going. And the companies that aren't going, I totally understand. Right? We're still going to have a conversation.
Yep.
You know, we're just going to do it in a different way. But
yeah, and we expect those companies will be back. And as you say, they've got different pressures and different considerations. And what we're trying to do is say there are folks who want to do this. We're going to be there to help make it happen for you. And that's the approach. And I think by allowing time and allowing this thing to the COVID environment to develop, that's giving people a chance. Yes, you know, they don't have information right now that says you're going to need this or that or have to do this or that. But they also, I think, respect and appreciate the matter that by taking time, we'll have the right measures in place that are right for whatever COVID environment is then.
Well, also, I believe the fact that most Americans, not Matt, are going home and watching college football every Saturday and seeing these packed stadiums with 90,000 people in it. You know, I was just, you know, speaking of Vegas, one of the best Monday night football games ever was last weekend, Raiders game. The stadium was packed. Everyone was going nuts. There was, you know, no social distancing going on whatsoever. Yeah. And, you know, that was a stone's throw away from the convention center where SEMA's going on. So
I was just there for WWE SummerSlam. 51,000 people
there's a large group of Americans that are ready to get out there and start cheering Goldberg or start cheering the Raiders or start cheering on Corky Coker.
Sure.
All right, do your business there, man.
Yeah, let me tell you guys about Good Guys. The Good Guys Rod and Custom Association is coming to Fort Worth, Texas for the 28th Summit Racing Lone Star Nationals. It's at the Texas Motor Speedway, September 24th through the 26th. There's over 2,000 classic cars and trucks on display with an autocross, a burnout competition, and vintage dragster exhibition, which is always very, very cool to see those things. Man. There's a huge swap meet, and there's hundreds of cars for sale that you guys can check out. Bring the whole family. There's live entertainment. There's a model car and pedal car display. There's a whole kids zone that's free for the kids. And if you want a ride-along, NASCAR is bringing out some stock cars to do some ride-along so you can get You can hop in one of those and go around the track. Tickets are on sale right now at goodguys.com. It's good-guys.com. Kids 6 and under are free, but if you use promo code CARCAST, you get $5 off your spectator ticket.
Well, let me give the website out for SEMA.org. You can go there, get updates, find out what's which way the wind is blowing.
Hey, Adam, if I could, another call out on the website. We have an enthusiast network that we call the SEMA Action Network, which is that bringing to that collective voice for, you know, trying to protect the hobby on laws and regulations. It's the SEMA Action Network. Its website is SAN, S-A-N. It's SEMA SAN. I'm sorry. It's SEMASAN.com. And SEMA is SEMA.org. We're .org for SEMA. So I would appreciate if your listeners would check in there, especially help us out to bring that voice, because, you know, we all need it. There are lots of different ways that the hobbies are challenged by laws and regulations. We need your help.
And the SEMA show, obviously, November 2nd through the 5th.
SEMAShow.com, the authoritative place, yes, Matt, to get the answers to your questions about what is the story with the SEMA show this year.
And I want to thank Christopher Kirsting for coming in. We know him as Chris. We'll see you at the show, right?
Yeah, we'll see you at the show. We're excited.
We're going to have you come back, or I'm going to have you maybe call in. I have we have another conversation that you and I touched on all about emission stuff and how that's affecting the industry. But
sure,
we definitely need more time for that, so we'll
love
do that again soon.
It.
You can find me at the Solana Beach Belly Up doing stand-up. We're doing live pods there, too. That'll be Wednesday, September 22nd. Then I'm going to Chicago, Illinois, and doing Park West over there September 24th. You can go to amcorolla.com for all my live shows. What do you got, man?
Oh, man, as we're preparing for SEMA show and lots of travel events, just give me a follow at Motorator on social media. Tracking all that stuff. Posting.
So, until next time, it's Adam from Matt and Chris saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Pluto TV is playing the biggest movies every night this summer for free. Watch hit movies like The Matrix, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Scary Movie, Runaway Bride, and more all summer long. Check out the biggest stars like The Rock, Keanu Reeves, Tom Cruise, Julia Roberts, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and more. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of free TV channels in English and Spanish featuring TV shows, news, sports, comedy, and more, all for free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device, including Android and Apple smartphones. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.